Holland! Oh, that's magnificent! Sensational! PSG still celebrating their equalising goal. And suddenly, they're behind again. And yet again, it's Erling Haaland. That was on another level.
Cool. So we are live after some technical issues, but we don't care because we're here all night, bro. Nobody's gonna sleep tonight.
I don't think I'll sleep for a few days. That was incredible.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, there are some players that we don't miss, like Akanji. Do you think if Akanji played today that this will be the final result?
I don't know. I feel like our outside of the one goal that Neymar scored, the back line looked really solid, and I just feel like Akanji lately has been making some really silly mistakes that we weren't making today, and I think it's finally paying off that Lucien Favre is changing things up at the back. I mean, I think Akanji's a good player, but I just don't think he's been on top form at all lately. I think he needs to to regroup and to refocus himself, you know?
Yeah, he has like a long way to go with the form. Like Zagadou was amazing today. Like his game, his link up game. I mean, Emre Can as well. Hakimi played very good. I mean, even like Sancho, you know, even like Reina, he was like very good as well. So
yeah,
we can't really complain, because it's like everything is good, man. Like we said it before, we said that the hype train is still. I mean, I was like tweeting, you know, when the second goal was scored. I didn't see the goal. I just heard that, you know, the noise when the ball hits the net, and it was so fucking loud.
Oh yeah, dude, it was. I mean, that goal was just an absolute screamer, and then the fans were screaming after it, and deservedly so. That was just pure magic from Haaland. He gets his Champions League debut at 19 years old. Or I guess he's already played in the Champions League for Salzburg, but I guess with Dortmund, he gets his Champions League debut at 19 years old. And then he scores in his first Champions League match with Dortmund, a brace. So, like, he does it against PSG, too. It's not like he's doing it against cupcake teams. Like, he is dialed in. And he's always dialed in. Like, they were talking about on the broadcast how in training, if he misses a shot, he gets very upset with himself. And it's like, you can tell by how he plays that he does not take too kindly to missed chances, and especially when he's the one missing them. And I think that's part of the reason why he misses so rarely. Like, that's just in his mind, it doesn't seem like missing on a shot is really an option. And I think that's just a testament to just how dedicated he is as a player. Like, he's dedicated to perfecting his craft, and he wants to be if it was up to him, he would make sure his conversion percentage is 100. Like, he would score on every shot if it was up to him, and you know it bothers him when he doesn't score on a shot. So, I mean, I don't even know. There's just so many good things you can say about him.
Yeah, man. Like, he, as you said, it bothers him when he misses like that control, you know, or he misses that pass, or he fails to be in a good position to score. Like, you see it clearly, man. He really, inside, he's very, like, you know, he's really, like, pushing hard and trying to make the best out of his time as a football player, which we appreciate, you know, because the young guys, like, they always say, like, I fucking hate it when commentators are like, oh, he's only 19 years old. Oh, he's only 20 years old. What the fuck do you mean, man? Like, a football player should be a fucking football player. He should be scoring goals. He should be playing good games. It doesn't fucking matter if he's like 19 or 20. Like, who cares, man? If a football player plays, it's because he wants to. Because imagine, like, if we always say, oh, he's only 19. Now he's only 20. And then years go by very fast, and we had players who were like, Golden Ball or any other like big major competition material, but because we kept saying, oh, he's only 19, he disappeared off the fucking map. And I can name like some old players and some new players, like for example Dembele, man. Everybody's like, oh, he's only 19, he can be like, he can be sloppy, he can be unprofessional, you know, he can be a bad player, he can be a bad sport, he can have like bad sportsmanship, he can be a bad person, you know, to leave your house in his hand, like Jurgen Klopp did. He left him his house and he trashed it, Dembele, before leaving for Barcelona. And being this kind of player, you can be like, oh, he's immature, it's okay, it's normal. But now he rarely ever plays, and potential doesn't mean any shit, because a kid in his crib, you know, a baby in his crib has potential, man. So if we see a player like Haaland, we see that he really beats himself up every time. A goal, like every time he has the opportunity and he doesn't take it, he really fucking gets on himself and he really like pushes himself hard. And you can see that even the players around him, like they are influenced by his passion, because he just arrived, man, like January. I mean, you just arrived and you're already creating a big impact, and you're very consistent. You're one of the most consistent players in Dortmund right now, and you already scored 8 goals in the Champions League so far. So it's fucking crazy. We're looking at some real... not 8 goals, 10 goals, man. He's level with Robert Lewandowski, 10 goals.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's got 8 league goals, and then now with those 2 Champions League goals, he got 10 goals total since joining Dortmund, and he's been with us for a month and a half. It's absolutely outrageous.
He's a fucking beast, man. He is out of this world. I mean, I knew that... Okay, I always wanted to get like a very experienced striker. I always talked about it. Like, let's get something like Mandzukic or some big, you know, 30 or 31 years old experienced goal scorer. But this is better, man. I mean,
what the fuck?
It's way better. Like, we have something big on our hands. What do you think? What do you think about Emre Can's like performance tonight? What was it that made him like, you know, be so fucking influential?
I think he's critical in the midfield for us. I think he, alongside Witzel, those two in the central defensive midfield positions are crucial, because they make a huge difference for Dortmund when it comes to stifling opposition trying to play up the middle. I think a lot of Dortmund's sloppier performances tend to revolve around mistakes right in the middle of the pitch, and with Can and Witzel next to each other in that central area of the pitch, I think it's a lot harder for the opposition to really break through, and teams are really forced to play the ball out wide, and it's harder for them to play their game, because like today, for example, PSG had really no space up the middle. They really had to focus on working the ball around the outside, and up until they scored their equalizer, granted it was a very temporary equalizer, but up until they scored that equalizer, they really had no space in the middle of the pitch, and I think a lot of that stems from just Can's presence and Witzel's presence. They're both big guys, they both are physical players, and they both are not afraid to protect their ground, and they treat that middle area of the pitch as if it's their backyard, and they don't want anyone in their backyard, you know, the get off my lawn type of thing. But it's more than that too as well. They're specifically with Can, his vision when it comes to passing and moving the ball up the pitch after forcing a turnover, he's very quick to find an open player and move the ball forward. Like, he doesn't hesitate, but he also doesn't make stupid passes. He's very like intelligent with his gameplay, and his game sense and awareness are hugely beneficial for Dortmund, especially in that midfield. And when you've got, you know, the speed that we have up top, it creates a lot of opportunity for him to find a quick outlet pass. And I think his experience in general, you know, he's he's not a veteran necessarily, but he's been playing for football for a few years now, and he's been playing at the professional level for a few years, and he felt, you know, his time was misused previously, and he feels like Dortmund is going to give him the opportunity to show what he's capable of. And I think so far he's shown that he's very, very reliable defensively, and he's not afraid to get involved on the attack. You know, he scored that goal, I want to say a week and a half ago now, that was just outrageous. He had no business taking the shot, but he just buried it. He put the pace and the power on it, and I think that keeps the opposition kind of reluctant, or it keeps them at bay, because it's not just Dortmund's front three, front four that know how to attack. You know, there's a lot of different ways they can play, and Chan provides opportunities both defensively and offensively for Dortmund.
Yeah, man, like his output, his work rate, and for his age, like some might think that Chan is like 30 years old or 29. He's only 26, and he already played for Leverkusen. He played for Bayern Munich first, then Leverkusen, then Liverpool, then Juventus, and now he's in Dortmund. 26 years old, born in 1994, and he's fucking beast as well, man. Like, Borussia Dortmund is teaching, you know, lessons in how to acquire good players and make them great, and also on how to play good football. Like, I think that today we saw that, I don't remember who picked a yellow card. Who picked a fucking yellow card? I think it was
Witzel,
I tweeted right about it.
Like, towards the middle of the match, he just, I thought it was kind of a weak yellow, but he bodied, I think it was, I can't remember if it was Verratti or Mbappe, but he kind of came in a little strong playing a ball, and he picked up a yellow for it, but he's not afraid to pick up a yellow here and there. You know, he's willing to assert himself physically, even if it means picking up the occasional yellow card. And I think that's important too, because, you know, sometimes a yellow card can be just as useful as a goal.
Of course, bro. Like we didn't get, like, we are one of the most fair play at its best, Borussia Dortmund. When you hear the word Borussia Dortmund, it's fair play. Like, we hardly commit any fouls. We hardly get any yellow cards or red cards in a fucking season. And now seeing that Witzel makes that tackle, gets the fucking yellow card, is probably the best thing he did in that moment. The best decision, because that might be a goal. And by taking one for the team, no goal was scored. I mean, if you don't have a previous yellow card that's going to prevent you from, like, playing next game, I can understand. You can be like, okay, I want to play in the next game. I don't want to be benched, or I don't want to not participate. But I see that he was, you know, he didn't have any yellow card, so he took the fucking chance, and he got the yellow. But Borussia Dortmund didn't get no goals. Another question I wanted to ask you, if I can remember what I really wanted to ask you, because there are like so many fucking questions right now, and, you know, and I'm trying to, yeah, because when the game starts, I was like, okay, PSG, good, they have a good midfield, and they have Thomas Tuchel. What Thomas Tuchel likes to do? He likes to play possession game, just like us. Ooh.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it was two identical managers today.
That's cool, but what happened is that I was like, okay, what works against teams who play position game? What in your opinion, what did we do today to block that position game? Like, what do you think?
We were intelligent when we pressed. You know, I think at times where we press and we don't press, either we don't press as a team or we press poorly. But today, anytime we were putting pressure on PSG, it was with purpose. You know, it wasn't just throwing bodies at the ball. There was like a rhyme or a reason to it. There was a rhythm, there was an organization, and it was all calculated. And I think that's crucial if you're going to press a possession team. But at the same time, when we needed to, we sat back and let them, you know, just sit on the ball in the midfield. And I think, I want to say, through the first half, PSG was like in they looked, if you only looked at the stats, they had control of the possession, but Dortmund had more shots and more shots on target. And I think that kind of tells you how that possession game can be risky at times. You know, like Dortmund were able to, when they had possession, they didn't dance around in the midfield or sit back and wait for PSG to get back. They were aggressive when they had the ball, and when they didn't have the ball, they waited for the moment, and then they attacked. You know, they forced very dangerous turnovers, and PSG looked, honestly to me, it looked a lot like Dortmund when Dortmund has blown leads earlier in this season. You know, back in the first half before the winter break, Dortmund would go up 2-3 goals, and then they would start to sit in the midfield and just kind of like pass the ball back and forth without moving it up the pitch. And that's kind of what PSG did for the first 50 or so minutes of the match. And you could tell they were frustrated because they didn't have a lot of space to work with. And Dortmund really kind of was tight and compact defensively. And against a team with the different attacking weapons that PSG has, you have to be compact defensively and you have to be organized. You have to maintain your shape. And I think Dortmund did that extremely well today. And they were able to get guys back when they needed guys back. You know, I saw Sancho dropping back a lot. Haaland, there's a clip on Twitter where Haaland runs. After he heads the ball off of the, like, back line near Berkey, he just sprints all the way up the pitch. And it's like he goes into turbo mode. But, like, the point I'm getting at here is that Dortmund is getting players back that are attackers. You know, they're playing as a team. They're not playing, you know, they're not only playing their position when the team needs them to do more. Like, if players like Haaland, Sancho, you know, Royce when he's healthy, Hazard, Reyna, like, if they're able to come back and help out defensively, it creates a lot more space in front of them when they're moving up the pitch, and they can move up the pitch with a lot of pace as well, you know. And Dortmund's greatest weapon is their pace and space, in my opinion. Like, we have so much pace on our team, from Haaland to Sancho, you know, Hakimi. I'm thinking about, I mean, Royce when he's healthy, of course. Hazard's quick. Guerrero's not slow. I wouldn't call him super fast, but he's still, like, dangerous, and he's got he's quick on the ball and very agile and makes turns. It's like, there are so many ways Dortmund can beat you, and a lot of those ways boil back down to, like, their pace and their ability to use their pace effectively. And when Dortmund use their pace effectively like they did today, it just creates havoc in the final third for the opposition, you know?
Yeah, well, I saw that, like, clip you talked about. And also, when I was the game, I saw one of these counterattacks in which all Borussia Dortmund, like, 6 Borussia Dortmund players were running towards the, you know, when Sancho took the shot and went wide. I saw that, like, 6 Borussia Dortmund players were, like, running towards the... It was a quick counter, and everyone was already there in the you know, in the penalty box. It was Haaland, there was Hakimi, and Haaland, with his fucking big posture, man, with his big body, he can still outrun these small guys. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense. How can you do that? Like,
It's remarkable.
Yeah, well, I'm always like, what the fuck is this? I mean, he's very fast, man. He's like, okay, well, a big guy, but really fast, because when he throws, you know, that leg, it's like three, you know, steps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sancho, you know, and one step for him would be like 3 steps for Marco Reus or Neymar, as someone who's smaller, but like also very quick. And it's like the amount of power his legs generate when he's running, it's absurd. He's genuinely like above human. Like, he is not human. I don't want to call him a robot, because like, he's way too like intelligent to be a robot. He's genuinely like, he is almost a cutout of what like the dream football player should be. Like, his physical stature, his technical ability, and his pace are just unmatched, in my opinion. Like, he reminds me a lot of, because of his size, of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I think, I don't want to like put, you know, Haaland's name right up there with one of the best of all time right away, but like, when you've got the size that Haaland has, and he's clearly got the goal scoring abilities, like, it's, those comparisons are bound to be made. And I mean, we saw from his second goal today that he's got the shot power and the strength to go with that pace. And it's like, I mean, there's not a lot you can do to stop him. You know, you have to be very physical with Haaland, and it's very difficult to be physical with him because he's larger than most center backs and wing backs. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, like, of course, like, we can talk all day or all night about how Haaland influenced this game in the biggest ways, like when you score a brace, and I mean, let's just be honest, this is the kind of player we've been looking for years now.
Like, absolutely.
Since Aubameyang, and you know, and I don't know if you remember, what's his name? I forgot his name. Well, Adrian Ramos. Do you remember Adrian Ramos?
Oh, I remember Ramos. Yeah, he was... Ramos, dude, I remember him being like... He wasn't quite as fast as Aubameyang, but he was still very, very like... He was a very physical presence. You know, he was the gritty kind of... center attacker like that you would have. You would want him in the central areas of the pitch because of his size. And he just never, I don't think he ever developed the way Dortmund would have liked him to develop at the club. You know, I think that's a great comparison, actually, Haaland and Ramos.
Yeah, because Ramos, I mean, he didn't really score lots of goals with Borussia Dortmund, but whenever he played the game, you know, he was like doing his best to, at least, if he's not going to score a goal, at least put pressure on, you know, the opposition players. Like, his placement, the way he, you know, the way he moves in the box, his pace as well. And it was, like, good. He played 52 games and scored 13 goals, but he was a very, very important player in that time because when Aubameyang was available, we had a backup plan, you know, and that's what I'm talking about here, is that we missed having a real striker, you know, big real striker, like when Lewandowski left, and when Lewandowski left, we still had Aubameyang, who was like scoring, you know, day in, day out, like week in, week out. He was a great player, but when these two left, we were filled with such emptiness. And now seeing Haaland, I'm like, I'm confident again. I'm sure that there will be a player who's going to score for us. I am sure that there will be a player, you know, there will be like, there will be crosses, there will be goals from crosses, there will be goals from, like, you know, small, you know, passes in the box. But today, like, the game we played, it was like, real, it was a show, I think, in my opinion. It was very... So, and when seeing that Haaland came from Salzburg just to stay in the Champions League, like, we can safely say that he earned his, you know, his spot in the Champions League. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. He's, I think he has shown all of Europe... Like, I mean, yeah, I would say he's shown all of Europe that he is a textbook scorer. You know, he is capable of scoring from all sorts of angles, from all sorts of distances, and from all sorts of shots, so to speak. He is just, I mean, it's one of those, he's one of those talents that's just generational. Like, he and Sancho are arguably two of the best players in their age group. Like, if not the best players in their age group, arguably two of the best players in Europe in general. Like, Their dynamic duo is just, it's a nightmare to defend, and I do not envy the opposition one bit, because trying to deal with like those two, in addition to when he's healthy, Marco Reus along with Julian Brandt, obviously Hazard, you know, Götze is on the bench, and Mario Götze, like, he's a world class player, and he starts on the bench, like, he's a substitute, which is absolutely absurd. Like, Götze could start at arguably just about any other club in Europe, with the exception of, you know, some of the very top elite clubs. But, like, Götze is a player who, like, you would expect to see in the starting 11 regularly. And when but he's not, because there's these talents that are just young and just remarkable at Dortmund. It's, I don't know. It's quite, I think there's so much talent at Dortmund that it's hard to not think about when and how soon Dortmund can win a title, both in the Champions League and domestically.
Of course, yeah. And one other thing, like, Piszczek, man, when he wears that armband, he's like on fire.
Absolutely.
He's like the enforcer, man. He's like, he's there, you know. At his age, I mean, that work rate, that presence in the field, the way he handles, you know, these quick counters, the way he stands in front of opposition. I think this week, not this week, but the last two games, Piszczek was amazing, man. He was like, you know, he was like this big leader. He was like in the back moving things, you know, but you always felt his leadership and the way he was like, you know, just for a player to be able to block big dudes, like, you know, even not big dudes, but like these stars, like, you know, like
Mbappe,
like, or
I'm
Neymar,
thinking specifically of a sequence midway through the second half where Mbappe was like just really using all of his strength and energy to try and get in to the final third, and like Piszczek was just causing a lot of problems for him. And it's like Piszczek is a guy who, like, he's not necessarily like a world class player or like a well-known defender, but like the way he plays, he is perfect for Borussia Dortmund. And like his experience, I think, speaks volumes. Like you can watch him play and you can tell that he has been playing the game for quite some time, but like to be his age and to still play the game the way he does and like with the consistency that he does, it's very impressive. And it's like crucial, I think, as well to Dortmund's success. You know, it's easy to talk about how all these different attackers can be a huge influence in matches, but I think when a player like Piszczek is on the pitch, even though his contributions aren't necessarily tracked in the scoreline, he's still very much an important presence for Dortmund. And occasionally he gets himself on the score sheet, you know, like he did over the weekend with a weak foot shot from the top of the box, which I would like to add, you don't see many strikers taking weak foot opportunities like that, let alone defenders. So that, I think that just tells you the type of player that Piszczek is. He's a reliable, consistent, experienced player, and he knows how to make a difference, even if his difference isn't made in the score sheet.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah. So this game, like, we can pick up so many points. But there's another thing. I'm talking about. I mean, like, Reina's confidence, man. He just got in a game that's very important. His team is winning with a one goal difference, and he's there like not making other players doing some crazy shit to, you know, to all older players who have like kids his age. I'm like, what the fuck is happening there, bro? Like he is quite the strong, you know, minded player who, you know, I can't say that when Pulisic started, he was the same. I can't compare both of them because for me, Pulisic was always that person, you know, that player with love and hate relationship. Not really my favorite American player. He was very good, but I see in Reina the real, you know, I see in him what Pulisic lacked, and that is character.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think there were, you know, being an American, like, it's hard for me not to like Pulisic because there's only, like, you know, four or five Americans total that are actually good at football. So, like, I have a little bit of a soft spot for Pulisic. But I think, you know, sometimes it felt like Pulisic wasn't playing up to his potential, or he just didn't look like, it almost looked like the expectations were too high for him. You know, people wanted him to be more, and at times he wasn't able to be more, but when he played his best, you know, he looked great. And I think something that Reina has that Pulisic didn't have is a little more consistency and like in his performances. You know, I think Reina is a little less liable to make, like, or at least from what we've seen. Granted, it's very limited minutes, but I think Reyna looks more consistent, looks more experienced than someone his age should look. But I do see what you're saying, where, like, he's kind of like, I think he's what people wanted Pulisic to be. I think Pulisic is, I think he's a very talented player. Whether or not he's the best American all time, I don't know if he'll ever fulfill those expectations or that label. But I think a lot of people after Pulisic were reluctant to apply a similar expectation or set of expectations for Reyna. And in my opinion, I think he would meet those expectations better than Pulisic could have with Dortmund. And so far, Reyna, I mean, he got the assist today. Like, he's, I don't know, there's a lot of bright spots with Reyna. Like, there's a lot of potential for him, and I think he fits the system very well. Like, he fits the team really well.
Yeah, of course, man. And what you said is very, like, it makes sense. I mean, it's very, you know, something that I also agree with that. Now that the hype train is still rolling, man. It didn't stop. Like, some people were like, okay, this is just a hype and it's gonna die off. This is just, you know, temporary. And this, but Erling Haaland is still there. That's all we can do. Like, we can say, like, Erling Haaland is there to stay. He's not just, you know, a passerby or anything. He is really the real deal.
Yeah, like, he's not watching or riding the hype train. He's pushing it. And he's pushing it very quickly.
Yeah, man. He's the one he's the guy with the hat, you know, in the front of the train. Like, he's the captain of the train, you know. And what he did for Dortmund since he came is, like, amazing. It's big. And to like, imagine playing against a team such as PSG and winning without Marco Reus and Julian Brandt. I mean, what? Come on.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I don't know, man. There is so much potential with this team and with this squad, and I would just hate to see it wasted, you know? Like, I think Favre is starting to come around on giving the younger guys a little more freedom to play their game, because when they play their game and they're able to play it to their strengths, they play it really well. And I think if Favre continues to work with the lineups that we saw in our past two matches, I think there's a lot that this team can accomplish. And I think really at this point, Dortmund is kind of like, Dortmund is their own enemy, so to speak. Like, the only thing that can stop Dortmund from reaching their potential are themselves. Like, there's really nothing that should stand in their way, because PSG is, I mean, they're a world-class club with world-class talent. And it looked for the majority of the match today that Dortmund were just dominating them, if not with possession, with you know, character, with class. Like, it was, I thoroughly enjoyed watching Dortmund today. And even when they weren't scoring, it was just thrilling to watch them play the football they were playing. And I think they were playing some of the best football that they've played in the last, really in the last several years, as far as I can tell. It was inspiring football.
Yeah, it was inspiring football. At the same time, this proved me wrong, because although we beat, like, Eintracht Frankfurt on the weekend 4-0, and we didn't even have time to talk about that, but even though we beat them on Friday, I was like, okay, but Eintracht Frankfurt were very, like, stale that game. They didn't do anything. Are we just the team that is going to win against teams who are very weak in the offense, and then, like, with the likes of Leverkusen, just fuck up, you know? But this game shows that no, Borussia Dortmund is here to play against the biggest teams with the biggest players and still win, because they had a more complete squad than we do. Like, I don't think they had any injured players. But we had two of our best players who are out, and also Delaney as well. Yeah. So we had, like, more you know, and I'm sure that if Marco Reus had time on the pitch, or if Julian Brandt had time, they will like make it worse for PSG, because they were like they will provide more, they'll be like this sense of security, because they are very important players, like they are very important characters. I think that as far as I'm concerned, Brandt is going to be not really Marco Reus' successor to the Dortmund, you know, to the Dortmund stardom. He's going to be the player for the future of Dortmund, but Marco Reus is really a fucking club legend, bro.
And, oh yeah,
I mean, now that PSG are gonna be without Mignolet and Verratti, it's going to be amazing, because we might see Haaland or Reus come back, you know, in the away game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what, that one is on March 11th. We got about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. I think Reus is supposed to be healthy by then. I'm assuming Brandt will be healthy by then. I think he's expected to return before Reus. But I mean, it'll be exciting to watch them contribute as much as they can, because we already know that they're capable of adding a lot of dynamic to this team. And I mean, I'm just like, I am still riding cloud nine, I guess. I'm just so excited to see what else Dortmund does in both the Champions League and in the rest of league play this season.
That's cool, bro. I mean, for me, I'm done. I'm like, I have nothing else to talk about. Do you want to add anything, bro?
I think we hit all the important points. I mean,
yeah, we talked about like, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we haven't talked much about Berkey lately, but we also haven't had much to talk about with him. He hasn't really, I think he's done his job well, and he hasn't really had to do much in our past few matches anyway. So like, I think we're hitting the points pretty well, and I guess Lucien Favre's job is still safe.
Yeah, man, he is still on board. And as you said earlier, like, Borussia Dortmund are their own worst enemy. And if we are going to win, unlike we did last season, we are not going to just give away the title towards the end of the season, or just give away the title in the small games, you know, like we did last season. We should really push it and keep on going. Small news that, do you know that Emre Can, like, he was on loan first, but now the deal is finalized for 5 years.
Yeah, I think I saw through 2024. It might have been even longer, but I know that was supposed to be finalized, or that was expected to be finalized over the summer as a permanent move. But I mean, the sooner the better, in my opinion. I'm excited to see that, because I think it's great to see him with wearing black and yellow, and to see him contributing as well, not just to be a part of the team, but to be a regular contributor, if not offensively, defensively. You know, there's a lot of good things we could say about him as well.
Yeah, he's very good, and I mean, he Joachim Löw, like the German, you know, the Germany national football team coach, was there, was watching the game just to, you know, to see Can, among other players, of course, but he was there just to see Can, because he might be back in the national Mannschaft.
I think it'd be nice to see him back in the national lineup.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm all for that, bro. So yeah, well, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Ryan, for being here. And see you on the weekend.
See you next time.